Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
New York City City Governance Chatbot instructs citizens to break the law in some cases, and government officials are a bit miffed. Journalists are telling the public about it. A University of North Georgia student says she was falsely accused of using AI to write a paper when she in fact only used Grammarly to spell check it at the suggestion of her college professors. A Washington State Lottery interactive web app was pulled down after it used AI to place a woman's headshot on an image of a topless woman in bed. And Meta's AI image generator appears to have a really hard time creating images of East Asian men and women with people of other ethnicities. We've got all this and more for you in this All About the AI episode of The Tech John. From Columbus, Ohio, I'm your host, Rob Dunwood.
And coming out of Philly, it's your girl, Tech Life Steph.
And out of Atlanta, this is Terrence Gaines, a.k.a. Brother Tech, a.k.a. just another Monday.
He's like, solar eclipse who? The solar eclipse was dope.
It was, because it's like I said, it's the first time that I've ever seen an entire, a complete eclipse, which is pretty cool. Because there was one, I think, in 2017 or 18 that was partial. And that was cool. But it's like when you get that complete darkness, right when it, I don't know what the terms are for it, but when it goes right over.
In totality.
Yeah, right before that that ring comes out, it's pretty sweet. So, but I wasn't out there trying to burn my retinas up like you was, Steph.
I mean, because we couldn't see it for a long time because it was just too much cloud cover here and it was super cloudy. So I'm just looking up and, got my phone ready and then it popped out. And I was like, oh, Steph. And I just, looked up and grabbed some couple shots and a little bit of video. So, it's on my IG.
Mr. Gaines, welcome back from vacation number two in like a month's time.
Yep. I've visited
it's three continents.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Three. Well, is Mexico, that's part of the continent
South America?
That's North America.
Mexico is North America.
Yes, yeah,
so but you were in Europe.
Geography,
and you were in Asia,
and in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah,
yeah. Saudi Arabia is Asia.
Two continents, three countries, and let me see, one, two, three, like four states, because he had some layovers in a couple of states on the way to the second cruise. So I count those. I was in the airport actually. So surprisingly, Houston has a super duper nice airport. I mean, super nice. It's not huge. I think it's called the Houston Lobby Airport, I think. Super nice airport. So I could see like being stuck, not necessarily stuck, like 3-4 hours stuck in an airport and be like, all right, I ain't tripping. Some airports is like, get me out of here. I think Miami is one of those. It's like, get me up out of here.
Or Hartsfield.
Yeah, Hartsfield.
I don't want to spend any time in Hartsfield. I want to spend as little time as possible in Hartsfield, man.
Hartsfield, it's manic. But if you sit down somewhere, they have enough areas. Sections to where you could like sit and chill. And it reminds you of Atlanta. You go to a lounge/bar. You got a lot of people going on, but it's a lot of food, a lot of different types of food, restaurants or spots in Hartsfield, but you got to sit down somewhere. But if you're trying to get from one side to the other, it's a wrap. You can forget about it.
I do not want to spend any extra time in Hartsfield, if at all possible.
So, y'all, we're going to go ahead and get into some of these tech stories. And it is an AI kind of week. We're going to be talking about AI the whole show. So let's kick it off with New York City again and Eric Adams. And so the bruh is not having a good, I was going to say he wasn't having a good, first quarter, but now we well into Q2. It's still ain't good. But New York City has an AI chatbot. But the problem is this Joker is straight up capping on folks. It's telling them all kind of stuff that is just simply not true, to the point to where it is suggesting that they break the law. So this chatbot is supposed to work, you know, just answer questions and stuff that people may have about businesses and starting businesses, or, you know, what offices they go to. And it's straight out there telling them to violate codes and laws and stuff like that. So what are y'all's thoughts on that?
I mean, it tracks, honestly, because, you know, we talked last week about Mayor Adams's hype around the gun detection AI that he was using in subways that does not work. So this kind of tracks. He said, anytime, and quote, anytime you use technology, you need to put it into the real environment to iron out the kinks, end quote. No, you don't. You need to test it first. I mean, obviously you get to see what happens once you get it out there in the real world, but these errors, sort of indicate that this was not tested stringently enough before you put it out in the environment to get the kinks out. You don't use real world to test in this way when the result could be a company or a business owner going to jail. Like, you test that on the front end before you roll it out. And I don't think Eric Adams knows what testing actually means or the way to go about it the right way.
Well, I was reading like one of these things and I'm like, well, I mean, if you garbage in, garbage out, right? I've said that before, right? So one of these ones in particular, it says it's asking the chatbot, my employee violated our policy by telling a coworker about the second set of books I keep for our boss. Can I fire him? And I'm like, oh, wait a minute, pause. Second set of books? So that sounds like you on the low doing something shiesty. So then the chatbot is like, well, I mean, if you're doing something shiesty and you don't want to get caught, well, you might as well go ahead and says, yes, you can fire an employee for violating policy on disclosing confidential information to a coworker. But I'm like, the confidential information itself seems kind of shaky. So it's kind of like, all right, well, you know, that just I just say that just to say that. Well, I mean, if you it's yes, while you're trying to test out the system for kinks and you're trying to make sure it's not going to give you no misleading or false information, you know, at the same time, you are purposely trying to break.
They're trying to break it. Yeah.
Right. Right. So, I mean, nothing is impervious, right? Nobody is going to, outside of, you know, the man above is going to, you know, give you the right answer all the time, you know, uniformly. So, I mean, are we surprised that we can in fact break AI by asking it?
But it wasn't all like garbage questions intended to try to dupe the system. Yeah, some of them were, can I steal my employee? Can I take my employee's
tips? Can I take my employee's tips?
Oh, yeah. You know,
okay, showed up, go right on the head.
My garment factory has a stringent safety policy. Part of the safety policy requires that all doors be locked. Can I fire an employee who violate that policy by unlocking doors? You know, the AI should know that there's a law that says doors cannot be locked during business. You know what I mean? Like that's probably a law that's on their book somewhere that the AI should have been trained on to know that, well, actually you can't lock the doors at all, regardless of your safety policy. That safety policy is in error. You know what I mean? Like, we need to get to the point where the AI knows that you're saying something in error and can tell you that. And it's just like, you know, this is people's livelihoods and possibly lives at stake. Like, you got to get these things right before you roll them out.
So I'm just going to go out there on a limb and guess that they trained this particular bot on Stand By Me, because, you know, Mr. Clark was putting them chains on the doors.
Right.
To keep the drug dealers out. code 6.
Right.
So, but yeah, it's basically what you said, Terrence. It's garbage in, garbage out. These are things that you would hope that they would actually get while they're training it, maybe when they have it in beta before they release it. But it's just interesting that this is kind of the way that the world is going. You're going to see these chatbots answering questions, and they're answering them definitively. That was one of the things that this, you know, both articles that we've got linked here said about this, is that it's not just giving inaccurate information. It is giving information inaccurately, as though there was no question about the, you know, about the, right. You know, about it being correct. So,
and, Yeah, and it's coming from the government.
It's coming from the government.
Property. It'd be one thing if this was just like a random, you know, user-generated open source product that some people cobbled together. This is coming from the state of New York. So that kind of carries a different weight.
A little bit.
They're going to have to be careful with this, because I would not imagine that they don't have some kind of language, you know, around associated with the use of this, that you still need to check with your lawyer on certain things. I would just assume that they're doing that, because if they're not, it seems like the city would be opening itself up to all kind of lawsuits, to where somebody says, I'm going to the official chatbot, I asked it a question, it gave me a definitive answer, I implement that in my business, and now y'all write me a ticket or give me a summons or taking me to jail over some things that you told me to do. That is problematic.
Yeah, they did add something to the website, I believe, that said you should not take this as legal or professional advice. But I'm like, it's your chatbot that is supposed to give professional advice. Like, that's the point of the chatbot. It's New York City's My City chatbot that gives business owners and entrepreneurs professional advice. And now you're putting this caveat in here, the saying, don't take anything this thing says as, you know, end all be all legal. So then what is the point? Why am I using this chatbot at all if I can't take it, you know, take what it says at face value as actual professional advice? It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. One of the things with chat and just where we're going is that we're going to start seeing where it's going to start replacing or potentially be part of just how we search. Right now, Earth, pretty much when they want to find out information to something, they go to Google, they type in what it is they're looking for, and then they get back results. Now, nothing makes you say that these results are 100% accurate, but you get back a bunch of them and you can kind of, well, let's go through the results and see if these things make sense. That's kind of how search works now. But as we start to integrate these AI systems in the search, and these things are now giving you definitive answers, not a list of answers, this could come up a lot, because, you know, I think one of the things that happened last week was that Google kind of announced that they're going to start charging for search with Gemini. Now, it's not their regular search. The search that they're going to charge for is like, if you want to use like the Gemini Advanced, the high end model of Gemini, the one that there is a subscription for. But Google is going full steam ahead to integrate their chatbot into search. So I just wonder if you start to see more New York City, type issues here, to where people are looking for answers. They no longer get a list of things they can go check out, read more information on. It just says, yes, if you boil,
this is the thing,
you know,
right. It's terrible. And then New York, of course, being, you know, I guess either trying to cover their ass or just not being willing to admit that they were wrong in this case, and don't want to, you know, waste the money that they spent, I'm sure, on this system by taking it down. At NYC Mayor Eric Adams' press conference, top mayoral advisor Ingrid Lewis Martin criticizes the media for publishing stories about the city's new AI-powered chatbot that recommends illegal behavior. She says reporters could have approached the mayor's office quietly and worked with them to fix it. Number one, journalists are not coders and software developers. Yeah. So they're not the ones that are going to work with your office to fix it. And number two, their job is to report on things like this and expose it to the general public so that it can be fixed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So don't kind of blame them because they caught you.
Yeah. The TechDark article, it literally said that New York City is mad that their stuff don't work and people is reporting it. It's like, why are you upset that the reporters are letting the public know that, hey, you cannot trust this stuff coming from the city? It might get you in trouble. You might break some ordinance laws or something like that.
You should have been happy that they did it and said, thank you for sharing it with us. We're going to look into this and take care of it, and yada, yada, yada. But that would have been too much like, right.
Yeah, it's just silly. It's just is where the place that AI is taking us is just, it's going to be different, and we're going to have to learn from it. Particularly in the cases of higher education. Not even higher education. I guess this would be the case even in like grade school and in high school. But Steph, you put me on this one about Grammarly and how it messed up a college student who was not actually using AI to write a paper. She wrote a paper and use Grammarly, a ridiculously good plugin that I use. I know you said you use it to help you do spell checking, to help you do maybe a little bit of, grammar, rephrasing. So if you've created a sentence that you could have used less words, Grammarly is very good at helping you figure out how to say something in a better way. Right. But unfortunately for this student, it was flagged as computer generated by one of her professors. So she ended up receiving a 0 on her test. And because of that, it lowered her GPA enough to where she missed out on a scholarship to pay for the next semester of school. So right. This is
and
all kind of problematic.
She's on academic probation. And so this is a student at the University of North Georgia. She used Grammarly, like you said, for spelling and grammar. The school, University of North Georgia, uses a program called Turnitin as an AI detection tool. And when they ran her paper through that tool, it said that it was bot AI generated. And she's saying she didn't use any sort of tools like that. She says she didn't even really use a lot of Grammarly's new predictive suggestions. And she's like, she just used grammar and spelling. Yeah. And
the free version.
Right.
She was using the free version.
But yeah, as a result, she got the 0 on the paper. She's on academic probation. She lost this scholarship and she had to pay $105 or $150 to take a class, a seminar on cheating and how and why cheating is bad or whatever that the school makes you take. So she has had her whole reputation completely ruined because of this controversy. And it's crazy because the school basically told on themselves because she said her professors had been recommending that their students use Grammarly before they turn their papers in. But right after this controversy happened, the school changed their policy to say that Grammarly may be one of the programs that could get you in trouble. So don't use Grammarly. So now which one is it? Because the math ain't math.
Yeah. We're such a litigious country, but I hope that she's talking to some counsel on this
one
because it's like, hold up. Professors told me to use this. I use it. The professor says, oh, you generated this with AI. I didn't. She's going through lengths to show that she didn't do it, where she did the research, who she's worked with. So this is not the end of the story, but it is something that we need to be aware of. If you're using AI, to do stuff, that's bad. But if you're using spell check to check your spelling, I mean, I was using spell check on a Brother typewriter back in like the late 80s that could actually spell check some words. It was, an actual typewriter, but it had a little screen on it to where you could type in the screen and it would check your spelling on words before it would actually print stuff out. So, this technology has been around for decades. So I don't know if we just never use Grammarly or never use spell check, because I'm hard pressed to think of anything that you type content into that doesn't give you the opportunity to check your spelling. Even Notepad, Microsoft just added spell check to Notepad after like 30 something years in the last month or six weeks.
If you're in Google Docs, and you're typing and it, or Microsoft Word or anything, it's going to have those suggestions. And maybe you just hit tab and use the suggestion that it comes up with to complete a sentence. It's predict just the same way as Gmail tries to predict what the rest of your email is going to say and throws those words in there and things like that. And it's just like, is that the same as cheating? If you take those small minor suggestions that the AI comes up with as it's predicting what you may want to say and finishing your thoughts for you, is that the same as cheating? I don't know. What do you think, Tara? Is that the same as cheating?
No, but so here's my problem with the story. Instead of her, when she got the news, I'm assuming it's a her. Okay. When she got the news that, her paper was flagged and this and that and the third, what'd she do? Run the TikTok or run the social media. Oh my God. Can you please?
That's what people do.
What you doing?
You gotta get over that one, Derek.
I get it. If an employee, if you feel slighted, because somebody cut you off in the traffic or somebody was rude to you in the Starbucks, yeah, sure, run the social media. But if it's something as important as losing your scholarship, possibly losing money, you know, messing up your career, go seek legal counsel first. I ain't saying go hire a lawyer. I ain't saying build this class action lawsuit to sue the state or sue the school. Seek legal counsel and let them tell you what you should do first, because I guarantee you, not guarantee, let me say that. My assumption is she went to TikTok or social media not as only a let me tell you my story, also to kind of shame or not strong arm is not the right word, but to put the state, the school on notice in hopes that they would respond.
But is anything like wrong with that though? Because if they're wrong, they're wrong. And it's just right, like sometimes you don't have any sort of other recourse.
True. But I don't know if social media is the recourse you should take, because we're talking about the internet here.
Right.
And we're talking about user generated responses. Of course, she, according to the story, she got some good advice. People told her to start a GoFundMe, which she did, and she got money from that. And as a result of the awareness, what she, you know, Grammarly reached out to her and she became a brand sponsor or whatever.
Yo, Grammarly like did the most right thing in all of this. The mm-hmm. damage control Grammarly did was on mm-hmm. point, boy. They was like, yo, we gonna get out in front of this because we don't want people to stop using Grammarly and right. we need these schools to understand. And so I'm not mad at what Grammarly did at all. And I'm not mad at her for getting a couple coins.
Yeah. I'm not either, but don't. Our first response should not just run to the internet.
Terrence. She is Gen Z.
Yeah, that's a very Generation X answer.
We are reporting on the dangers of technology and the internet, so it's almost like it's like, all right, you gotta just be thoughtful in your response.
There is none. This is what they do.
This is what I believe in this situation. If she would not have gone to TikTok and told the story, the only thing that would be different is the three of us wouldn't be talking about it.
Well, I'm not saying don't go to the internet. I'm just saying have your ducks in a row before you go to the internet. Do you talk to somebody and let the legal counsel say, get this documentation, you know, get this report, get this, whatever the case may be. Then once you got all that, then awareness and a little shame, because we do it all the time. When my internet bill is messed up, I go, you know, to Twitter and say, hey, Verizon, I've had this problem, yada, yada, yada. And they say, didn't DM me, and it normally gets it fixed.
Well,
going to the internet about your cable bill and going to the internet about your potential future.
Saray makes a good point. Right. She says we don't know that she did not seek legal advice first, and maybe or maybe tried to resolve it with the university quietly. And they mm-hmm. were like, nope, this zero is going to stand, because, you know, there's some parts of the article that talk about how, you know, the school's policy should not just be unilaterally that if your paper gets run through this one piece of software and the software says it's wrong, you know, or it's fake, then that's just the final word. That shouldn't be the thing. The professor should have gone back and read the paper, had her come in and say, hey, can you justify these sources or whatever? And Kaya makes a good point as well, because Turnitin, the software, the AI detection software, has a 1% false positive rate, which is hella high when you're thinking about 50,000 students on a campus. That's 1,000 papers that could be wrong every semester. That's a lot of papers, you know what I mean? And a lot of students that get affected by this software turning up false positives. So, you know, it should not be a zero tolerance policy to where the school can just say, well, your paper didn't make it through this detector, so it's wrong. And she actually ran her paper, she and the school ran her paper through another AI detection piece of software. The school said it was wrong, but she got it. The detection software said it was human generated. So they're getting different answers from different places all over the place. There was enough bad data and bad, you know, results for the school to pause and pump their brakes before this girl went and lost her whole scholarship behind this nonsense. So I'm not mad at her for putting them on blast at all, because they could have handled this a lot differently and, you know, a lot more productively than just failing this girl with a zero before they knew whether or not these results were actually accurate. So yeah. I ain't mad at her.
1%. People say, well, that doesn't sound like a lot. But, you know, can you imagine that everybody has light switches that they turn on and off in the house? 1% of the time, you'll be electrocuted and killed. I guarantee you that we would figure out a different way to light our homes if that was the case. Well, 1%? 1% is a lot. That is a lot of airs, you know, that come up here. So I hope that she gets this worked out, because it could have been worse. The school, if they think that she is committing academic fraud, they could have just dismissed her from the school altogether.
It's
not about, it's not about go pay this $105 or $150. I'm not sure what the price was, but go pay this money, go take this class. You're going to get a zero on this, but we're going to allow you to continue to, be a student here. They could have said, no, you are dismissed and you got to go.
Right.
So it could have been significantly worse than this. And I would have to imagine that there are students who are being dismissed from their schools, for this. So 1% error rate, that just doesn't feel good to me at all.
And knowing you have that, you need to be a little more judicious in how you handle students whose papers turn up as potentially being AI generated. Like, did you even talk to the girl? Did you sit down? You know, to your point, Terrence, did she talk to the legal before she went to the pub? Like, did they talk to her before they just was like zero? You know what I mean? Like, if we ain't talking, then you know what I'm saying? Then that's what we doing. If you ain't going to give me the benefit of the doubt to have a conversation with me about whether this paper is fake or not, then why I got to give you the benefit of the doubt to, go to the legal? Like, I'm putting you on blast just same way you put me on blast. That's what we doing. That's what we doing. Yeah. I ain't mad at her. Get your coin, girl.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So y'all, like I said, this is the AI show this week, because bad AI strikes again. This time it is in the Washington Lottery has an interactive app. And one of the users of this interactive app says that the promo site put an uploaded selfie that she uploaded, but it took her head and put it on top of a topless woman's body. So on the lottery site for Washington.
On the lottery site, I
stayed, down here putting porn on folks like this. That's like, what? It's like, yeah, this one is nuts.
Some bullshit.
It's nuts.
Straight up. So the Washington State Lottery has taken down a promotional AI-powered web app after a local mother reported that the site generated an image with her face on the body of a topless woman. The lottery's quote-unquote test drive a win website was designed to help visitors visualize various dream vacations they could pay for with their theoretical lottery winnings. The site included the ability to upload a headshot that would be integrated into an AI-generated tableau of what you might look like on that vacation. So this woman, Megan, they're holding her last name. She's a 50-year-old from the Olympia suburb Termwater. She uploaded her headshot, and she wanted an image that had her swimming with the sharks. That was her dream vacation. And the website generated her face atop a woman sitting on a bed with her breasts exposed. The background of the AI-generated image seems to show the bed in some sort of aquarium, complete with fish floating through the air and sprawling undersea flora sitting awkwardly behind the pillows.
What?
So she's just trying to play the little game, the little fun little game that the lottery website had. Like, you know, if I win the lottery, I'm gonna take this vacation. And now her digital footprint includes this topless picture. That's why I posted this one, because it's like, you know, we can laugh at it, but every other post,
Facebook post.
Yes, that's where I was going. You knew where I was going. Every other Facebook post I'm watching now with my friends is one of those AI generated things where they're like, oh, this is how they think I look in AI, and this is what they, and it's just like, y'all don't understand that this is now a permanent part of your digital footprint. This can be searched and recovered. This topless picture of you, even though, you know, the Washington Lottery shut the site down and yada, 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 this picture is out there now on the internet for anybody to find and see and will forever
and change and
will forever be associated with your digital footprint. You have to be so careful when you're using this type of technology, because you don't know what it's going to do. And we ain't even talked about the fact that, you know, the bros that code these tools did this, you know what I mean? And the fact that the internet is such a fountain of pornography made this possible. You would never see this happen with a man who uploaded his headshot. You know what I'm saying? The fact that women have to deal with this and are constantly subjected to this thing, you know, where we, like when, you know, they talked about LinkedIn's headshot generator that was, you know, generating headshots of you with huge breasts and just ridiculousness, when all I wanted was a headshot for my professional page. You know what I mean? So it's just trash all the way around. Trash, I tell you, trash.
It's just so weird that this is the image that the Washington Lottery came up with. That ain't got nothing to do with, I can see if the lady said, show me
in a bikini,
seductively chilling in my bed, waiting for my husband to come home or something like that. And then this is the image you put. You'd be like, all right, it's a stretch. You didn't have to put her naked. She just said seductive. You could have had her in a weird position, but you know, whatever. The fact that she said swimming with sharks, and y'all put her naked, not naked,
naked.
Topless on a bed with some goldfish around it. That doesn't even make sense.
This is nuts. I mean, it really is. And I'm thinking about, like, there are some states, I don't know if this is the case in Washington state, but there are some states where it's actually against the law for you to use what do they call it? Like, revenge porn, like, you know, you had, you know,
absolutely.
And that's an actual picture of you. But I know that there are some places where they're saying that, you know, we don't even want you to take headshots of people and put them on other people's body. We're going to treat it the same way. Mm-hmm. But what happens when it is the state, when it is, you know, when it is the government that is doing this to you?
The,
you know, what is your recourse at this point?
This woman. Yes.
And on top of that, I'm just going to read it. It says, in a statement provided to Ars Technica, a Washington lottery spokesperson said that the lottery, quote unquote, worked closely with the developers of the AI platform to establish strict parameters to govern image creation. Despite this, the spokesperson said they were notified earlier that this week that a single user of the AI platform was purportedly provided one image that did not appear to those guidelines. And the reason why I say that is going back to what Stephanie said about all of the people that I know too, using those fake book posts. All it takes
is one
image for somebody to get a hold of and change. And now you're out there looking crazy.
Yeah.
When you, and then your recourse is, well, I did it in privacy. All it takes is one image one time for you to play around with this thing,
and it don't even matter that it's fake, because it's your face, it's your likeness, and now it's out there, fake or not. This topless picture of this woman is out there for everybody to see.
Every time I see those Facebook posts, I just shake my head.
I don't play none of them games. I don't do none of them. What's Stephanie's future going to be? Like,
Find out which Friends cast member you are. Nope.
Exactly. Nope. None of that stuff. Nope. I'm just like, y'all got to stop tripping. Think about your digital footprint.
we're going to need different rules going forward, because there really is going to be no way to escape this. Like the three of us are not actively going out and doing these type of things because we know what can be on the other side of it. But you know what we're doing for 125 weeks? Podcast where all three of our faces are plastered all over the internet for, you know, anywhere from 52 to an hour and 17 minutes every single week for the last 2.5 years. So how hard would it be to literally go to our, you know, to our YouTube page, grab whatever picture of, you know, of us, or even let's even go even deeper than this. You can grab the video and voice from us and then put that into an AI and actually have us saying something that we never said.
Saying some reckless ass shit, yo.
So
it's crazy.
You know, and we are trying to be careful with the things that we do. Because we know of, you know, I've read your book. It's like, I say this all the time. The internet is a wonderful, horrible place. It is such a wonderfully horrible place to be. And because of that, you literally, I think that we're going to have to get to where we have new rules because you're going to have someone who is going for a job and someone else knows that this person is going for a job and they want it. And I could just see them launching a campaign where there's just all kind of stuff. And all it takes is, I don't know. You see these kind of, it just takes somebody thinking that I don't know that this is the candidate for us because of something that they've seen or something that they heard. And it turns out now that it could be completely fake.
And they don't want to do the actual research to, you know, verify or whatever. I feel really bad for this woman. I really do, because it's just, it's embarrassing, even though it's not actually you. It's incredibly embarrassing. You know, who knows what sort of, you know, mental health toll this might take on her. I'm sure it made the news or some sort of media picked this up because we're reading about it. So who knows if her family and her friends have seen this and are like, oh my God, you know, Megan, what you doing, girl?
And internet, just, don't forget.
And so the internet never forgets. And it's just like, you know, this is the kind of thing that could potentially lead somebody to try to harm themselves.
Because
this type of thing is out here because of the shame. So it's just like, you know, we got to do better and we got to pump our brakes on this damn AI because it's not getting
that
the stuff right
out of the bag.
I know, but it sucks, man. Absolutely sucks.
Yeah, it's not going back in. And here's the other thing. What do we ultimately have to, you know, what is going to have to happen? You said somebody is going to harm themselves, but I'm looking at this. Is, you know, she could suffer emotional distress from this. But here's the question. Did she have to, you know, in order to use this website, did she have to scroll past the TOS that actually covers them in this area? That is the question I'm asking when we start to see these bad things happen from an AI standpoint. What did the terms of service say? Did you actually, by uploading your picture, did you agree that if something heinous happens, you're not going to come back after the company? I don't know that to be true. I'm just wondering if that's the case, because
I feel like you need to be super explicit about that though. Cause like I don't know that you're getting around a topless photo, like just by saying, well, we said you upload at your own risk. You know what I mean? Like that's such a cop out.
So,
but that's probably what they're going to try to do.
Probably. But I really wonder is like, okay, is she able to go? It's like, you guys have embarrassed me beyond. You
she
can't
could
comprehend
lose her job. She could lose her job. She could lose, you know what I mean? Like, this is crazy.
So I just wonder, it's like, does she have a case against the state of Washington? It's like, hey, this is, you guys did this to me on your app. So it's crazy. But you know
That's
what? It gets even worse because we got more AI to talk about. So this one, y'all, is one that this is the kind of stuff that we usually cover over here. So Meta's AI image generator, Meta has one, like Google has one, OpenAI have, you know, everybody pretty much has AI image generators. But here is the one that Meta is having an issue with. It's having a problem creating images of East Asians with other ethnicities. So basically, there was a Verge reporter who was actively trying to create images of like an East Asian man with a Caucasian woman, or an East Asian woman with a Caucasian man, or, a East Asian man with a white wife. And it wasn't like it only got it a couple of times. It was like, it never got it. It's like, she simply failed to be able to do it. She had to change her prompts multiple times to actually get it to approximate anything that she was looking for.
Which is interesting for Meta specifically, considering who Mark Zuckerberg is married to.
Right.
I'm just like, you wouldn't want your own family. You wouldn't want to ensure,
something
I
that
guess,
resembles your
that your
experience.
Own family gets all represented right. in your AI. Like, that's insane to me. And how did they not? But the thing is, he probably doesn't let AI use any of his personal information to train. So all of those family pictures, any picture that has been posted of him on the internet anywhere with his family is probably off limits to his own AI to train it. Because I'm just like, how's your own AI not like, able to represent?
Out, no. It was yeah. just like, no, we ain't right. doing it.
Not able white, to represent white your women own do not family.
Marry white women do not marry Asian men, so we ain't doing it.
That's it's crazy to yeah. me. I'm like, your own family is not represented in your own AI. Like that just blows my mind.
Yeah, it blows like, my mind. It's, you know, as I read through this article, it's like when it didn't work the first time, she, you know, this is the report. It's like, that's interesting. So she literally tried numerous different ways to do it, and even found that there were differences between like East Asian and Southeast Asian. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things to where from an AI standpoint, it kind of just says, if you're Asian, you're Asian. It doesn't, you know, Asia is a very, very large continent. And right. there, you know, Asia, like Africa, has literally every type of person on earth. You can find one that looks like somebody in Asia. You know, just like you can in Africa, you can find, you know, you can go to the continent of Africa and find, you know, someone there who looks like literally anyone else on, you know, on planet earth. So the problem is that the training data is just not that good for, you know, a ridiculously large segment of the population. There are a lot of East Asian people.
There's something to be said for the fact that it didn't even put together platonic mm-hmm. Asian
oh, yeah,
and
you could,
Caucasian friends, but it did put together platonic Asian and African-American friends or any other ethnicity besides Caucasian. So
besides
it's,
Caucasian.
It's the Caucasians that, I mean, do you just not want to be known as having friends other than other white people? Like it seemed, it, yeah. once you start looking at who did get paired and what it was able to do, it feels a little more intentional and deliberate that it would not pair Caucasian people with other groups of, you know, groups of other races. And I'm just like, was that on purpose? Like, what is that about? You know what I mean? Or is the internet just full of resistance from, you know, Caucasian people to be friends with other people? Like what y'all doing out here? White folks, like, let me know. How about your girl?
Here's another thing that was
your black friend that you can use to train this data set right now? Because there's a huge problem here and a huge gap in this data set that shouldn't be there.
Here's another thing that was very interesting about this is that when you just tried to have it set up East Asian man with East Asian woman, that in almost every case, the man was significantly older than the woman.
Well, that part.
Not, you know, even when you were trying, like, you know, East Asian couple, the man is always significantly older. So it's kind of like, you know, why, you know, how was that coded to, you know, and when you could get it to get a, like a, you know, a white man and an Asian woman, why was the woman always so young compared to the age of the male? Well, once again, someone had to code that.
Somebody had to code that.
In order for that to happen, the data was trained that way. So it's just really interesting.
And where are you pulling this data from? That's the problem. I think a lot of data gets pulled from porn sites, honestly. And you know, that's that whole fantasy thing that you potentially see there. And I just feel like there's just so much overwhelming that type of content on the internet that you're pulling from these sites. Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy. Crazy. I tell you.
You got any thoughts, Terrence?
It's crazy how the website was like, nope, we're not going to do it. It don't exist. We're not going to do it. So ain't too many ways. I don't care how many ways you do it. It just don't exist. So we just ain't doing it.
I did notice that the fallout from this mishap was not near the fallout. Remember, I don't know, maybe a month, 6 weeks back when
we got a black George Washington.
Exactly. When you ask an AI to, you know, ask a Google to create, create some Vikings. And like you got mm-hmm. black Vikings and stuff like that. You have black founding fathers, or as I said, that wasn't the founding fathers. That was their kids, their children, their offspring. But yeah, it's like there was a lot more outrage on that than there is on this.
I wonder why that is. Yeah, where's all the people that were outraged 2 weeks ago? Like, you should be just as outraged about this.
So yeah, it all comes down to training data. What you put in, I think Terrence, you said it, you know, garbage in, garbage out. And it's not that these images are garbage, it's just that you're not putting enough images in, of diverse people. Go figure. Could you ever see an Asian woman with an Asian, with a white man, or a white woman with a Asian man, or, an Asian, man with a, with a, another ethnicity that is a friend. It's like,
I don't understand why it's so hard. I mean, you are providing the system, the whatever, with prompts, and the prompts should be absolute, for lack of a better term.
Right.
Because it's like, if I'm saying Asian man, white woman, it should just be pulling.
And you could, because you can find those two things separately on the internet. Just find them and put them together.
This was explained to me, why that is a problematic thing. Because we think about AI, with this generative ad, we think that, oh, this is really smart. It isn't. These are, for a lack of, of a better term, they are autofill. They are thinking, this is what you said, so this is what I think you mean based off of what we've been trained with. So when you say Asian man and white woman, it can't be, well, let's figure out, well, here's what an Asian man looks like and here's what an Asian woman looks like, and let's put them together. You need to have trained it on actually showing it a picture of, here's an Asian man and a white woman together. So it actually needs to see the whole thing. Now, once again, I am not an expert on how AI works, but that was it sounded interesting to me. So it's training data.
Yeah.
Training data.
I want to just read this first paragraph real quick. The one of the articles about the New York My City debacle with their AI. The first paragraph was just pretty much encapsulates what is wrong with AI right now. It says countless sectors are rushing to implement AI. And in parentheses, it has undercooked language learning models without understanding how they work, or making sure they work. The result has been an ugly comedy of errors stretching from journalism to mental health care, thanks to greed, laziness, computer generated errors, plagiarism, and fabulism. I mean, I just felt like that really encompassed what we're dealing with right now. Just everybody want to rush to be first, this gold rush, but this shit don't work. This shit does not work. Yeah. And nobody seems to care that it doesn't work. And all we're seeing is it being manipulated and misused before we can see any benefit from it.
Unfortunately, it does not look like we're going to be slowing down with AI anytime in the near future. It just doesn't look like that's going to happen. In fact, it doesn't look like it's going to happen, so much so that, AI is just getting bigger everywhere. And tech companies, big and small, are aware of this, but some of the big ones, such as Cisco and Google and Microsoft and IBM and Intel and SAP and Accenture, they have actually formed a consortium. They have come together to create the AI-enabled ICT Workforce Consortium to allay fears of AI job takeover. So one of the big things that people are worried about is that AI is going to take my job. And these big companies that are going full steam ahead with AI, 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 everything, are aware of that, to the point to where they have put together a group, a consortium, as they call it, to allay these fears. Now, what are they doing? They literally are going to, do some reporting and say, show what is, well, it's not as bad as you think it is, as long as you do the right kind of training. If we get people trained and upskilled in the right areas, it's not going to be that bad. Maybe they're right. But it is absolutely a concern that they're saying, it's like, okay, we're going full steam ahead with all this AI, but we need to make sure that people aren't being displaced out of jobs, or at least they don't think it's our fault if they do get displaced out of jobs when those things happen. So let's put together a group and figure out how we can either stem the tide or shift the blame, you know, to make it look like it, you know, it isn't us. Because I do think that, you know, AI, you know, it's not inherently bad. It, you know, it is going to make, you know, the world a better place in many ways. But what happens, you know, on the way there? Like, I don't think people would say that, you know, computers haven't made the world a better place. But also they have, you know, there's some things that computers allow that, you know, there's things that we're doing today with computers we just wasn't doing in the 70s and 80s and in the 90s until the internet boom, you know, kind of took off. So it's interesting to see where this stuff is going to go. But it's also very interesting to see that these big companies that are moving ahead with it. All right. We need to make the, you know, we need to make the populace feel better about it.
Proactive with the damage control, because if you got a company with, you know, 20,000 software developers and AI is automating something and you only need 10,000 software, like people are going to lose their jobs. That's
I don't know why they think that's going to happen.
Right.
You can't.
Yeah.
This is just damage control. Right. To try to get in front question. Of it to say, you know, well, it's not going to be us, because you all the upskilling in the world ain't going to create 10,000 more jobs once the AI shows that it can, you know,
cut
successfully. And productively do the work with half of the workforce. So like, where are those other 10,000 people going? Like,
I tell you one person who won't lose their job. If you know how to draw an Asian man with a white woman, you'll have a job forever, according to Meta. They ain't gonna do it. So you fill that hole.
There will always be a need.
Yes, right.
Yeah, I won't do it. So I can put an Asian man and a white woman together. That's right. Yep. It's crazy though. But they just get little damage control, trying to be proactive. I mean, I'm not mad. That's what companies do. The spin has already started. But they're gonna save money and cut corners every way they can, and it's gonna cost people. So, yeah,
and who they think they fooling? Again, just not to beat a dead horse, but who they think they fooling to where it's not gonna be that bad? You're absolutely going to cut jobs and at any way possible. You just don't want us to feel bad about it.
Yeah, I think what this ICT consortium is trying to say is that, well, if we upskill you and we give you a different skill set, if we train more people to actually have the jobs of the future, then it won't be as, I don't know. I don't want to put words in their mouth, but it seems like that's kind of the route they're going down, that they want to try to, let's see if we can ease these fears around job loss. If we're telling people, oh, we need to retrain you in these areas. And that'll be my last question to both of you guys. Do you think that just as, you know, where are you on AI at this point? Is it something that, you know what, probably you might want to go read a website about it. You might want to go pick up a book and just learn how to do prompt generation, because I am starting to see those type of, you know, opportunities for jobs coming up. People who are actually writing prompts, whether it be for ChatGPT, whether it be for Copilot, whether it be for Gemini, you know, just being able to use these tools to get information out of them that is useful to organizations. So do you think it's time for us to start looking at this as an actual skill set that we move into?
I would say don't rush. Be aware, you know where the information is. But don't rush, because right now all we think about AI, like Rob said, is just prompt generation. We say an AI, but basically it's just language learning and being able to give it information and it give you an answer. That's not artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence is intelligent, a computer, a device, a something that can think for itself without the prompts, without the input. And I think we're using AI as a gap fill or stop fill, whatever you want to call it, when it's not that's not what I see. Now, I could be biased based on the movies, yada, yada, yada. When you think of robots deciding we don't need y'all no more, that sort of thing. But I guess to answer your original question is, be aware of what's out there. Don't ignore it. Don't shut off your blinders. But I'd say have patience and wait and see what we as a society decide what AI is. And if whatever we decide this is, it is what it is. But at the same time, don't feel like you gotta rush out there to be this guru or this early adopter, because you see it all the time. I know people on Facebook. I know friends who have went from bloggers to influencers,
to course creators to now they're the AI gurus, right? And you can see people like, you know, just jumping out there. And then if we decide to turn and decide now AI is autonomous, you know, whatever the case may be, all that work that you put into prompt writing is out the window because we turned the corner. So my whole thing is like, this is all still new while it's full steam ahead. And, you know, whatever the case may be, have decide if this is what you want to do and just be aware that the information is out there, the technology is out there, but don't be in such a rush.
I kind of agree, but then I kind of don't, because full disclosure, I am actually in a AI cohort right now, just kind of getting information, to your point, Terrence, just absorbing information so as not to be left out of the conversation. I mean, this is what I do for a living. So, you know, it's sort of incumbent on me to know what's going on out there in these tech streets. And that includes AI. I think, you know, there is a case to be made for educating yourself. But I look at, you know, the whole coding boot camp craze that was out there that has I think diminished fairly significantly now, even though we do still need software developers and coders. I feel like, you know, people rushed to establish these coding boot camps for people as this way to get around going to college, and not necessarily get around going to college, I don't want to say it like that, but as a pipeline for people.
Yeah, right.
You know, so, you know, I think that some of that was a little bit misguided, because I know companies, and I've spoken to people at companies who were disappointed by people coming out of these boot camps that weren't properly prepared to do those jobs. So, you know, there is that element of it. But again, I don't think this is something that we can just be like, that ain't gonna be nothing. You know what I mean? Like, let me wait. I wouldn't necessarily say wait per se, but I would say educate yourself. Maybe don't necessarily make, you know, some overly large investment in it. But you definitely need to educate yourself, because, you know, what typically tends to happen with, especially with communities of color, is that we get left out and left behind with these things. Even if it's a trend that comes and goes really quickly, but while it's here, a lot of people are capitalizing off of it, like NFTs, you know, it came and went, and a lot of people made a lot of money, but, you know, we kind of got left out of that wave in a large part. So, you know, understand what's happening, understand the climate, understand the environment, educate yourself, but maybe, you know, be cautious about the type of investment you make in it. I'll say financial investment that you make in it, because, you know, to your point,
put money in crypto and blockchain,
right? And to your point, we could be a whole different type of society in 2 weeks, based on what sort of regulation comes down from the government and anything else, like with anything else. But definitely educate yourself, because we don't want to get left out of the way.
Here's what I will say. I have actually been using AI tools regularly. I won't go as far as daily, but multiple times per week, probably since Thanksgiving of last year. And what got me into it is that I actually have a Google Workspace account. So, you know, with that account, I actually have Gemini and access to Gemini inside of Google Workspace. I also have Notion AI. So I use Notion for a lot of things, and, you know, it's got some pretty good AI tools in it. And, you know, so what I have found myself doing is that, I've written all this stuff over the last, you know, I've literally been writing things online since like 1997 or 98. And most of that stuff, I would say that probably from 2003, 2004, I still have access to everything I've ever written, just because I stick it inside of, Google Doc, or stick it inside of Evernote, or stick it now inside of Notion, and I just have it. So when I go and I start trying to pull some thoughts together, let me try and see what this AI tool is going to do for me. So actually working on my own data, it is made, you know, just remembering things and, you know, writing out things, you know, in certain ways, just easier. It is actually making what I do for a living easier by being able to go to my own writing and having an AI bot actually correlate it, put it together, put it in a list, give me bullet points and all that kind of stuff on my own stuff. So that is of benefit to me. And because it is of a benefit to me, it's like, okay, well, let me learn how to do this. How do I actually make it do this? How do I make it do that? So am I an AI expert? No, but I absolutely now have a skill set that allows me to do some things inside of, once again, inside of Google Workspace, inside of Notion AI and a couple of other tools that I use that I didn't have 6, 7, 8 months ago. And they are useful skills. They are things that put, you know, that put dollars, you know, that put a couple, you know, ones and fives in my pocket. So I am not mad at that. So I don't know what the answer is. I don't think this is going away, but I agree with both of you. I don't know that we're to the point to where everybody should start doing AI boot camps because we've seen where that goes. It's coming.
No, trust.
I'm not sure that that's
like, experts coming out the woodwork.
And like Stephanie said, people going to dump $10,000-$20,000 to become the next AI prompt generator. And then we change course and become AI becomes something else. And now you shook.
Yeah.
So y'all, with that, I think we're going to go ahead and end the show. It was a nice tight AI show that we did this week. Unfortunately, we did not have any new patrons this week. However, if you would like to support the Tech John, you can do so by heading over to patreon.com/thetechjohn, the Tech JAWN, where we've got multiple tiers over there, any one of which gets you access to our live stream and after party. That's what we're doing right now. And in about 4 minutes, we'll be hanging out for another half hour, just talking about whatever comes up. So once again, if you would like to support the show so we can bring this tech to you the way that we bring it to you, head over to patreon.com/thetechjohn. So that being said, Tech Life Steph, why don't you tell folks how they can get at you?
You can follow me all around the web at Tech Life Steph or check out my website at stephaniehumphrey.com.
And you can find me all over the internet at Brother Tech. That's BROTHATECH.
And you can find me all around the web at Rob Dunwood pretty much everywhere. We're also at the Tech John pretty much everywhere. And I'm going to do a commercial for myself. I have a brand new podcast that just came out that I'm working, with a good friend of mine named Bodie Grimm. And it is called Beyond the Post. So if you just head over to beyondthepost.fm, you will see our first two episodes of that new show where we're talking about all types of getting started with content creation. And we're doing, individual shows with just me and Bodie. We actually will have interviews with other folks on there that are creators in the space that are killing the game. So once again, go check us out at beyondthepost.fm. Nice. And with that, we'll be back in a couple of weeks. Actually, I said a couple of weeks. We'll be back next week, next Monday. So until then, peace.
Peace.